You see, what I'd love you to do, while we think about it with our heads, I'd love you to try and draw some of what we're thinking about. You might like to write words, you might like to draw a cartoon, you might like to draw in whichever way you think is best. And then I'd love you to show us at the end. Now, we're going to spend a little time thinking, then we're going to have a song, then we're going to spend a little bit more time thinking as well. And that big bit of paper there is just for you. And we'd love to see how creative you can be. Grown-ups, if you're sat at a table with a big piece of paper, that means you can get involved as well. Good note, Sadie. We won't draw on you yet. We're going to have a think about that. And one of the things we love to do is we think about God's true stories, ask for God's help. So can I pray? And then we'll jump in. Heavenly Father, thank you for all of the boys and girls and mums and dads and all the other friends here today. And as we think about your true story, would you please help us? Would you please show us more of King Jesus and help us to trust him? For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, boys and girls up. Mums and dads, in our true story today, we're thinking all about one very innocent king and one very guilty crowd. And grown-ups, if it helps, on the back of your church family news sheet, there are actually headings that are there, if you like that kind of thing. Yeah? We're in Luke chapter 23 of the Bible. But before we get that, I wonder if you've ever heard the phrase, "You're fine just as you are." I wonder if you've ever heard that phrase. Now, my guess is that you've probably heard it loads of times. It's one of the kind of great mantras of our time. The message of self-acceptance and love and reassurance. It made me think of some new posters that have gone up in London. Boys and girls, have any of you ever been to London? Any of you have been on the tube? Well, if you go on the tube now, you'll see these posters. It says, "You are loved and wanted in London." Now, what do you think? It's part of a campaign by the Mayor of London to help people think that the city's their home, that they're welcome and accepted. I love that. But I wonder if we always think it's kind of true. I mean, it's a lovely poster. But the same people who put up the poster also send the grown-ups loads of council tax bills, and that doesn't seem very loving, does it? But it reminds me of our true story today. It reminds me of the true story that God is telling the world in the whole Bible. You see, at the heart of things, the Bible says that we love to think we are just fine as we are. Sure. Boys and girls, have you ever made a mistake? Sure, I mean, we all make mistakes, don't we? But we're not that bad, right? I mean, have you seen the guys fighting wars? We're not as bad as them, are we? In fact, we're so convinced that we're kind of okay that we kind of hate it when someone tells us we're wrong. Girls, do you ever get annoyed when your grown-up tells you off? Because even if you know you've been naughty, you'd rather pretend you haven't, right? Alice, do you ever get annoyed when a grown-up tells you off? And even if you've done something wrong, it's rubbish them pointing it out. Grown-ups, I'm not going to ask you the question because I know it's true of all of you, because I know it's true of me. We hate it when someone tells us we're wrong. Because we love to think we're fine just as we are. In fact, if you've got a Bible with you, that's where we're going in verses 1 to 5. Can I read it again to you? It says this in our true story. The whole group stood up and led Jesus to Pilate. He was the Roman guy in charge. They began to accuse Jesus, saying, "We caught this man misleading, confusing our people. He said we shouldn't pay taxes to Caesar. He says he's the Christ, a king." Now, Jesus has come along He's trying to help people to live God's way. But it turns out that God's way is often quite different from Tom's way. In fact, God's way is often quite different from our way. In fact, it's often in the very opposite direction. And we don't like being told we're wrong. It reminds me of that TV series. Anyone see this? I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out Here. Have you seen it? There's a lot of people sent to the other side of the planet, some backwater wasteland called Australia. They have to do some horrible challenges. It's a bit like that in our true story. These guys want to get rid of Jesus. It says in verse 3, he was claiming to be the Christ. He said he was God's promised rescuer. But we don't think we need to be rescued, right? We're fine just as we are. So instead of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, well, they turn it into he's not the Christ, get him out of here. And instead of sending him to Australia, they try to send him to death. Now, if you were listening as Aurora read it, maybe you noticed a bump in the plan. You see, these guys couldn't kill Jesus themselves. The Romans were in charge back then. And they wouldn't allow other people to do that. So they dragged Jesus before the big boss, a guy who was known for a seriously bad temper, and they tried to get the big boss to do it for them. Just saying that they disagreed with Jesus wouldn't cut it. So they started to make up some things instead. They said that Jesus was a threat. The problem was that the Romans, the guys in charge, they kind of understood Jesus had done nothing wrong. In fact, he told us that in verse 4. It says in verse 4 of our true story, Pilate told the leading priests and the people, I find nothing wrong with this guy. Now, if you were here last week, grown-ups, you remember it's just the religious guys. But now a whole crowd seems to have turned up, and a word has spread. They want to see what's going on. And Pilate's like a judge in the court. He's like the head teacher in your school, like the chief exec in your company. He says, well, I've checked the evidence. I have found nothing. In fact, not only has Jesus not done anything wrong, it's blatantly obvious he's not done anything wrong. And now, imagine you are sent to the head teacher. Amos, imagine you're sent to the head teacher. Abner says you have done something wrong, and he grasses you up. You get to the head teacher, and she checks, and it turns out you haven't done anything wrong all along. He really was just faking it. You should be allowed to go back to your class to play, right? Yeah? That's kind of what happened here. Pilate's verdict should have been enough. He's clear. Let him go out. Jesus should have been declared innocent. He should have been allowed to go free. But the crowd think they're fine just as they are. They want to be the judge. They want Jesus out of the way. And we're going to pause for a minute. We're going to sing again before we come to the second part of our true story. And it's a song that reminds us that, well, in choppy waters, we need someone to lead us through. It's a song you might know called My Lighthouse. So if you're able, jump up with me and we'll sing this together. And we're going to have a little thing about our true story again. And here's a reminder that if you would like to, kids, try and draw along as we go. If that would help your wiggly fingers and growing brains, that is there for you. Because we're thinking about one very innocent king and one very guilty crowd. Managed to turn myself off. Let me turn that back on. Sorry. Now, we started off by seeing how the crowd in our true story are very much like, well, us lot. We kind of, like them, we think we're fine just as we are. We love to push away any idea that we're not squeaky clean. And if that was what verses 1 to 5 was all about, well, verses 6 to 12, well, I think there's a heading we're supposed to see is that, well, we're not fine just as we are. It's a bit awkward, isn't it? Boys and girls, should we see what I mean? You see, at the end of verse 5, it says, well, Pilate says that Jesus is very definitely innocent, but the crowd are very definitely angry. Imagine some fans in a football stadium pointing at the opposition. They say, well, Jesus has been caught in trouble, and if Pilate is a proper boss, he will deal with it. In fact, it says this in verse 6. When Pilate heard this, he asked if Jesus was from Galilee. If so, luckily enough, he was Herod's problem. And Pilate sent Jesus to him because he was in Jerusalem at the time. At this point, Pilate is like, phew. Can you give me a big phew? Maybe later. This is his get out of jail free card. He thinks Jesus is innocent, but he doesn't really want to make a decision, right? In fact, if he can just send the problem up to Herod, he can let the Jewish leadership sort it. As it happens, Herod's in town for the Passover. He's a 10-minute walk away. In fact, well, he'd been wanting to meet Jesus for ages. Verse 8 says he was hoping to see Jesus perform a miracle. Now imagine someone new moves into the house right next door to you. Imagine they move in and there's a rumour that starts going around the little community kind of WhatsApp group and Facebook group that this guy is a world-class magician. Can you imagine how excited you'd be? You'd want to see him prove it, right? You'd want to see a show. Maybe you know that Tones and I song, Dance Monkey. Well, it's kind of what Herod wants Jesus to do here. Yeah, he's heard Jesus can do miracles and he wants to see him perform. So imagine, well, you tell your mates at school and you say, guys, come on over, I'll bring him in. Now, you really start to hype up who this guy is. But instead of performing, they just stand up. They say, you start to feel a little awkward and embarrassed, right? You've told your mate it's at school. And then, well, to cover the shame of it all, you think, I know what I'll do. I'll get on the front foot. So you start making a few jokes. Come on, mate, this is rubbish. I heard you were good. Show us a trick. Herod tries to do all of that too. In fact, it says in verse 9, he asked Jesus many questions, but Jesus said, nada. He tries to get Jesus to give him a sign. Jesus gives him silence. And Herod is furious. It says the leading preachers and the teachers of the law were there, and they were shouting things at Jesus. Then Herod and his soldiers, they made fun of him. They dressed him in a kingly robe. They sent him back to Pilate. Boys and girls, grown-ups too. I think Herod and his mates here are meant to show us a little bit of, well, us. You know, if we stop for any serious amount of reflection, I think we'll realise that the problem is most of us don't instinctively think we are loved just as we are. We recognise all sorts of wrong thoughts and desires within us. Just pretending we're pretty sorted doesn't really work in silence. We can try and kid ourselves we're okay, but Jesus kind of like holds up a mirror to show us that's not always the case. To put it another way, if Jesus is the king, he deserves and demands to be obeyed. But if we can pretend he's not, well, we can just ignore him, right? Problem solved. So rather than treat Jesus like he's the king, he's mocked. People start laughing at him. They put a robe on him, a purple one, and say, you're a fake king. Jesus is so far from being a king, they just can't imagine it. He's a king who's bleeding, a king who's under arrest. This king has got nothing. Now, we're coming into land, but just have a look at our final section with me. Because while we kid ourselves that we're fine, it doesn't take much to show that we're not. And yet the astonishing, the amazing, the life-changing news of the Bible is that even though we're not fine as we are, Jesus says we are loved just as we are. Pilate was convinced Jesus was innocent. He sent him to Herod. Herod couldn't find him a reason to get him either. In fact, three times in verses 14 to 15, the point is repeated. It is obvious Jesus has done nothing to deserve being killed. The evidence is clear, right? There's been a Roman trial. Jesus has passed it. Jesus has now got a second witness in Herod. Remember the rules of Deuteronomy, if you can. This Jewish authority who's examined him, he's also found him innocent. All of the evidence says Jesus should be released. He should already be free. And yet he is killed. Now, of course, the Bible's really clear that it's people who kill him. But it's also clear Jesus knows what's going on. In fact, this is why he came. Why? What kind of king would do that? Well, do you see? It's because his death offers us life. God's love is so great, so amazing, that he doesn't wait for us to be lovely, but he acts to love us even when we're not. Grown-ups, you might like this quote from a great guy called Martin Luther. He said, divine love is not reactive, but creative. God chooses that which is unlovely and repulsive, unrighteous, and with no redeeming qualities, and lavishes his saving love in Christ upon it. The Bible says that Jesus died in our place, so our sin could be paid for, so that we could be friends with God again. Because his body was broken and his blood was shed to fix our biggest problem. That is pretty amazing news, isn't it? So here's my question I'd love to finish with. Do you ever feel like something's missing in life? It's the question we've been asking everyone this week. It's the question that the research says people all over the UK are asking. Well, perhaps it's time that you found out whether Jesus can give you everything you've been missing. At this Easter, we'd love you to discover again, or maybe for the first time, the life and the love that Jesus offers. And we promise if you do, it will transform everything. We like to think we're fine just as we are. We know deep down we're not fine just as we are. But the Bible says we are loved just as we are. And Jesus promises to transform us. Let me give you a moment to think about that. There are a couple of questions that will come up on the screen. Maybe you might like to write these on your bit of paper. But grown-ups, children, let me give you a moment. What's one big thing that Jesus wants you to know or remember today? What's one way that should make a difference? Let me give you a few minutes, and then we're going to come together again.